Forever Blue Shirts Radio.
And that lovely voice you just heard was Mr. Jean-Luc Chaparro, who unfortunately will not be joining this week, but we send our well wishes to JL. He wasn't feeling that good this week, so everyone tweet him out something nice. Let's hope
he's
feeling
better.
Well,
you know, that's what asthma attacks do, because weak lungs and all. The pollen count's crazy. I got attacked, too. It's insane.
In all seriousness, although Kevin likes to joke about the situation, JL, we do hope you're feeling better and that you'll be back on the show soon, buddy. So, Kevin.
Russell.
It's us. We're here.
We're back.
If you haven't guessed, it's me, Russell Hartman, your host, and Mr. Kevin Krupe, your other host. And last night, Kevin, we were at the Garden. Well, I guess two nights ago when you guys are hearing this. We got to see Panarin, Buchnevich, Zibanejad together in a game action. We got to see almost the entire projected defense core. We got to see Vitali Kravtsov. We got to see Kaapo Kakko. Excuse me. It was a great night, especially because we won against the Islanders. So there's a lot of things we're going to dissect, and then we're going to move on to our season preview after, where we tell you guys what our projected lineup's going to be, where we think the Rangers will finish within the division, and ultimately what the best thing for them to get out of this year will be. So, Kevin, there I know you know you're chomping at the bit to talk about this one player, but let's go over how they played
overall
yeah. First. So,
well,
go ahead.
The Rangers finally won a preseason game, like that matters at all. But, you know, this is the first lineup where we really had most of the starting players. No Vlad Nemestikov, no Chris Kreider. I believe no Filippito.
No Filippito.
And I think there was one other. I can't remember. But
no Boo Nieves.
No Boo. But, you know, the main squad was really there. Panarin, Zibanejad, Kakko, Buchnevich, Howden, Elias Anderson was there. They, you know, Brendan Lemieux is playing his first NHL preseason game this year after signing his deal. And we'll see Tony DeAngelo on the next game, which will be
tonight.
Yeah, if you guys are going to watch, stay tuned. That'd be great.
Yeah.
But the play was so much better. The play seemed a lot more fluid. They seemed like they were meshing a lot. A lot more new players. It's hard to really mesh right away. That's why they had the preseason to see what works, what doesn't work. And that first line's looking dangerous. That first line looks fantastic. Panarin and Buchnevich look just like they've been playing for years together. And, you know, I know the overall game has been great because the PK was on fire. The power play, even though they didn't score on the power play, was dynamite. I mean, a couple shots don't go their way and they kind of cleared their own zone. But, hey, it's firing on all cylinders. That first power play unit's fantastic, and the second power play unit is kind of getting overshadowed by that. Like, they didn't even have Chris Kreider for the power play unit, and it looked great. But, you know, Kravtsov scored his first goal. Panarin has two, an empty netter, and a fantastic feed from Buchnevich. It's just, I don't know, this team looks like it can go somewhere.
It's going to take a big year out of all the rookies if this team hopes to really reach the heights that they want to reach this year, and that's just making the playoffs. But the signs from last night's preseason game against the Islanders were very encouraging for a lot of reasons. For as long as I've been watching, I don't know if I've ever seen the Rangers that tenacious on the puck. Always going after guys, playing some great man coverage, giving the Islanders little to no space in the offensive zone, on them on the penalty kill, which was some of the best penalty killing I've seen the Rangers do in a long time. Stopping guys like Barzal, Lee, Nelson from getting any kind of space during the entire game. Just the whole team working together and seemingly starting to really buy in to what David Quinn has been preaching to them, this fast, physical, and relentless style, because they certainly were relentless. I apologize for my voice as well. We were yelling a lot. There are a bunch of Islanders fans behind us, and you already know we had to mess with them during the game.
Oh, it was great. At least we had two Rangers fans on the sides of us, so,
absolutely.
You know, that wasn't that bad. But, you know, a few guys that stood out, and I'll say a couple guys, and then you can obviously follow up. Henrik Lundqvist looked fantastic. The 30 minutes he played, you know, stopping Broussard three times at the door. He's looking like vintage Hank. I know it's preseason. Everybody say, hey, calm down, Kevin. They've only played three teams. But hey, goaltending is goaltending. You know, he's going to stop shots. He's going to see stop shots from all angles. Hopefully we get to see Sejuros can play another game before he's sent down to Hartford. But Lundqvist looked like a true Lundqvist. But I think managing his time is going to be the biggest thing. And then the other player, Brady Shea. Best game of the preseason. Best game we've really seen in a while.
100%.
And he's looking 100%. Like the best form of himself. You know, now he has Jacob Trouba to kind of relieve some of that defensive pressure that's on top of him. And he's able to make plays. He's able to join the rush. I think he had 2 assists last night, which is fantastic. And another thing, this is the year where he's really going to come back because he has Adam Fox, because he has Jacob Trouba, because Mark Stahl didn't look bad last night. The only bad player on the ice.
Wait. Let's take a guess here. You know, every Ranger played pretty well last night. Daniel Ragan had his moments.
Michael Haley played well.
You know, Elias Sorensen played well. Brendan Lemieux played well. Vitali Kravtsov, Kako. You were sensing a theme here. Everyone played well except for one player. Who do you guys think that is?
We wait for me to say it.
I wonder, who didn't play well again?
It's a $4 million player named Brendan Smith. God.
So.
You know, it's like, you want these players to be good. I don't want him to be bad. That's the thing. I don't want him to be bad because you don't want anybody making $4 million to be bad. But he hasn't shown anything impressive. He's been a standout for all the wrong reasons. So Brendan Smith looks like he's lost. He's making bad passes. His awareness is just in the crapper. It's just, he's looking like he wants to be sent down to the AHL. And he's making a case to basically start there. Look, it sucks that some of these guys...
He should never be more than a seventh defenseman on this team. I'd prefer if he was buried in the AHL for the remainder of this deal. No one is going to want to trade for that contract. The experiment is over. Brendan Smith played about 4 good months for the Rangers back when they acquired him at the deadline. Got signed a fat new deal and immediately tanked.
Yeah.
It's time to...
And it's unfortunate. It's not like something that's like, oh, we knew it was going to happen. No one knew this was going to happen.
No.
He played great during after the trade deadline.
He played
great in the playoffs. It's like, why not give him a good deal?
And this is the thing.
The Rangers were in a position to keep going the way they were going before the rebuild. And he's one of the players that really screwed them over.
Yeah.
And nothing against Kevin Shattenkirk, but, you know, if Brendan Smith isn't on the team, do you still see Shattenkirk in Rangers blue this
year? Probably,
yeah. It's so unfortunate that a guy that really wanted to play for his hometown team got bought out because another player really
has an immovable contract.
An immovable contract. And I mean, Kevin Shattenkirk had a hurt, injured season, and then he had a bad second season when they were rebuilding. And it just sucks
that
those 2 years really...
You feel for him.
Exactly. And I mean, I don't... It's different now, but I wish he could still be on the team at the level that we, you know, paid him for.
Yeah. Well, away from the negative, 2 more players, 2 kind of obvious players, but they really need to be highlighted here. Adam Fox was probably the best defenseman on the ice last night. The way he moves the puck, the way he... moves across the blue line, his vision of the ice, the passes he was making, he is a special NHL defenseman in the making. So big ups to Adam Fox, because I was noticing him all night long.
He's always been noticeable. The whole preseason, he's just been that guy.
Good.
It's like, who is that?
Good.
Oh, that's Adam Fox. Sorry, I cut you off. I'm very excited about Adam Fox.
I know, me too. Adam Fox is primed for a top 4 role this year. He's going to be very good, and I can't wait to see him run the power play in the future. Second player, total obvious one here. But just look at what Artemi Panarin really brings to this lineup. He is worth every penny they paid for him.
Second preseason game, 3 goals.
3 goals in 2 games so far. And yes, it's just preseason, but man, the chemistry he's developing with Buchnevich and how he looks with Kako and Trouba on the power play and him and Zibanejad constantly communicating. You can tell that this kid is a game breaker, and he's going to be that game breaker that the Rangers have been looking for. And remember, once Kako and Kravtsov develop, the Rangers could have 3 game breakers on their roster.
He could... away from just the hockey aspect, he just looks happy here. And that makes me happy.
He looks thrilled. His first goal,
when we first saw him, they showed him, and then everybody started to cheer for him, and he couldn't help but, make that embarrassing smile. He's like, oh, geez, it's me. And makes me happy. Seeing the players being happy, seeing the guys just, this is where I want to be, and this is where I am. And, look, I know Islanders fans are mad, but he didn't want to go there. You guys were make them pay up more. I can't think of the word right now because I'm an idiot, but...
Oh, they were leverage.
Yeah, leverage. Thank you. God.
They're leverage. There you go.
Damn sinuses.
It's okay. So, point being, Rangers went 3-1 in the Garden on a great night showcasing the new talent and starting to bring the new era into MSG. So, Kevin.
Russell.
In a week.
1 week.
Hockey will be back.
Officially.
Yes. The Rangers play their season opener on October 3rd. It is the home opener against the Winnipeg Jets, Jacob Trouba's former team.
Brendan Smith's former team.
So we're going to go line by line here, D pair by D pair, and we're going to tell you exactly what the opening night lineup is going to be. So, Kevin.
Russell, this seems a little premature, but, I mean, we can always have speculation. We can always revise it next week. But
remember, this is our projection. This is our preview. And we are going to tell you what we think is going to happen this season. So, top line, easiest thing possible.
Easiest.
Panarin, Zibanejad, Buchnevich will be line one. That line, although Buchnevich's spot, if Kako really starts playing well, Buchnevich is going to have to look behind his back.
Well, you know, David Quinn really said, hey, look, the way Buchnevich played in the second half last year, he really earned it. And look, Kako's got to earn it too. You got to remember, as good as he is, as high of a ceiling he has, he's still a rookie. And if he starts with a second line, that's fantastic. Second line,
Kevin,
Russell.
What is the second line?
You know, as much as I hate to say this, I don't think Vitali Kratsov is going to be starting on the second
line. No, it might look like
everybody wants to look into the practice line as much as they want, the preseason game as much as they want. But, you know, we don't know what's going to happen until those final cuts. And Vitali Kratsov might start in the AHL. Might not be permanent, but that's where he might start. But second line, Chris Kreider, Filip Hedl, and Kaapo Kakko.
Absolutely. I think Hedl is going to be given the chance. Although I will say last night, Ryan Strome was being used in between Kakko and Kravtsov. And
he's got to get looks there. I mean, he still played the center position.
I think that if Hedl struggles early, I don't know if Anderson is immediately going to get put there. I don't know if Howden will get immediately put there. But Ryan Strome deserves every look there. And I know some people are saying it doesn't really help us. No one's getting the development. But at the same time, if you give Hedl and Anderson a little easier assignments, maybe put them on the third line, let them play, you know, against a little weaker competition, that can help their confidence grow in the beginning of the season.
Just having Panarin and Kako and Zibanejad, Buchnevich and Kreider ahead of you really will ease the workload. You're going to get third pair Ds. You might get some offensive zone looks here and there, depending on who's, you know, maybe they ice the puck and they have a weaker D out. You really don't know. And this third line though, it's a toss up. It's a very interesting.
This is the line I'm actually very excited for, because if Vitali Kravtsov does not make the NHL and he does start in Hartford, I want to see Lemieux, Anderson, Strom, boom, boom, boom on that third line.
I think that
line
sounds like a great line.
You got guys that are just super on the puck. Lias is tenacious as they come on that puck. Brendan Lemieux is the Gordie Howe hat trick guy on that line.
Oh, yeah, he's great. But the best part about it is he's also very defensively sound. You know, you're going to see him on the PK. You're going to see him. We saw him on the power play a couple times last night,
and he looked great.
He looked great in his first game because he's raring to play. You know, he's a guy who wanted the deal done. Unfortunately, he didn't get a lot of money that, you know, he wanted. But, you know, he's going to prove himself this year. I fully think he's going to get paid at least a 2 to 3 year deal next year so he can protect himself from the expansion. But, you know, we're going to see a lot of movement. This isn't going to be set in stone lineups. You know, maybe besides the first line and the first defensive pairing, it's not going to be set in stone. It's going to be fluid. And this last line, as you know, it's going to change. It's going to, you know, Vlad Nemestikov, Brett Howden, and Bo Nieves is probably my fourth line. But Nemestikov really didn't show us who he was. You know, he's really looking like he was a product of Steven Stamkos back in Tampa Bay. So he's got to prove himself. He's on his last year of his deal also, and it's just I don't see him staying here. Like, you know, he was a trade chip. He might still be a trade chip if the Rangers aren't in it. He's not coming back next year. There's a lot more contracts that you need to fulfill. And, you know, we might see him being the 13th forward.
Absolutely. And I want to stress this to all our listeners. I hope, and with every bone in my body, that Vitali Kravtsov is on the opening night roster.
And he's proving it,
and
too.
Yeah, he had a wonderful goal in the game two nights ago now. He looked really good. He's been getting better and better as the preseason has been going on. And I get the rationale that some people are saying that you want him to play top line, top power play, top everything in the AHL to get playing time. But Vitali Kravtsov has proved he could play really well in the second best league in the world. I think he deserves every opportunity to make the NHL roster. And if it was up to me, he would be on that third line with Lemieux and Anderson.
I think that's – yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. And, I mean, nothing against Ryan Strome. It's just he's also in a prove it year too. He had – you know, his shooting percentage was very skewed based off of the goals he got. And whether they're dirty goals or lucky goals, bounces, anything like that, he still really didn't show that he deserves to be on this team. It's just, again, next year you might see a completely different Rangers team if you're going to get rid of all these guys. And it's just, That's why they're building up their depth now, keeping guys in the AHL. You never know what might happen. We might see a trade in December again. It's just, you know, that Ryan Strome for Ryan Spooner trade is still a great trade that
I would do it 20 times over.
Of course, and Ryan Strome didn't. He scored more. He lit it up for the Rangers. It's just
high shooting percentage.
Can he keep it up? That's the biggest thing.
That's the whole thing.
Let's move on to defense. Obviously,
you take the first defense.
Obviously,
pair.
Are you giving me like a freaking home run right here, teeing it up for me? Jacob Trouba and Brady Shea, God, best friends.
What can you ask?
They know each other for so long. It's just, what can you ask? I mean, there's really no, unless Adam Fox really shows that he's the better defenseman, you're gonna see this pairing the whole year.
And that's not a bad thing at all.
No,
Trouba has looked amazing on the first power play unit with the big guns.
Yeah.
Last night was his best game I've seen him play.
I was going to say, like, the few games that he has played, it's just he doesn't seem like he's adapted yet. It's obviously your new team.
But you can see it from the game against the Islanders. Him and Shea were locking them down. It was really cool to see. Second D pair, this is going to be my most fun defense pair to watch all year. Libor Hájek on the left and Adam Fox on the right. I really think that this is going to be a pair going into the season. We've seen them together in the preseason a lot. Libor Hájek has looked really good, although, oh my God, some bloggers really don't think he was anything of note. But you know what?
You know, he's a defenseman I'd call up from the AHL.
But you know what? People are wrong. Libor Hájek is going to
You're entitled to your opinions, but when you want to stick to it and then reverse it and not admit that you were wrong, it's nothing. So, but that's not here nor there.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not
pointing
any fingers.
Libor Hájek was the crown jewel of the Ryan McDonagh trade from the Tampa Bay Lightning. It's been heavily, heavily rumored that Jeff Gordon was not going to do that trade without Libor Hájek being included, and now we're seeing why. He's showing the potential to be a nice shutdown guy with good defensive instincts. Any offense comes from him, great, but that's what Adam Fox
is doing. He's still got a great shot. I think he has one goal on in that one game he played.
He played five games, I believe. Point being, that is going to be a really exciting second D pair, and to watch them grow together will be something special. And Kevin, the third defensive pair, who is it going to be to start the year?
Tony D and Mark Stahl. And, you know, I don't want to disagree with you, Russell. I think that's going to be the second pairing going forward, but it's not going to start out that way. I think it's going to be a little reverse just at the beginning, with Tony D and Mark Stahl really having more NHL experience. You know, Tony D'Angelo was the best defenseman on the Rangers last year, statistics-wise. He played a lot of minutes.
He was the only defenseman with a plus.
I think he had a +5 or +7, but he really was the best defenseman for them. He showed that, you know, I want the money. He didn't get what he wanted, but it's another prove it year. I mean, there's a lot of guys. I'll keep saying it. This year is huge for the Rangers going forward. Whether they make the playoffs or not, individual efforts would really show how this Rangers.
I want to say
be.
Tony D was a +4. Who do you think's right?
I don't know. JL, +4, +7 for Tony D. The Rangers have good defense going forward. That's the best part about this. Brendan Smith's not going to play. God forbid he plays. God forbid he's even sitting in the damn bleachers.
I don't want Brendan Smith to touch New York Rangers ice this year. And if he does,
Jeff Gordon knows what kind of predicament he's in. Okay, now. +6. It's +6.
Oh, okay.
I said 5 or 7, so I think
I got it.
+6,
pretty good. So, goaltending, look, this is a three-headed monster, and the decision is not going to get easier if Georgiev and Shesterkin keep playing. But you know what? I think it's going to be Lundqvist as the number one, as always. And I really think the game against the Islanders solidified Georgiev as the backup. He played extremely well in relief of Henrik Lundqvist.
Yeah.
And as much as I would love to see the Czar...
There's no reason to rush him.
Let the Czar burn out that first ELC. Don't burn it. Let him start in Hartford. Let him dominate the American League, and his time will come. Shesterkin's time will be here, but let him dominate in the American Hockey League.
Definitely.
So there's your opening night lineup. That's who the Rangers are...
No, keep going. Sorry.
That's who the Rangers are probably going to run. Obviously, we're going to see the lineup in the next coming days to see if our predictions are correct. God, I really hope Vitaly Kravtsov makes the roster, but we will see. So, this is an interesting question I wanted to pose you, Kevin.
Yes.
There's so many question marks going into this season for the New York Rangers.
Of course.
Who do you think, besides Kaapo Kakko, because that's an easy answer,
yeah.
Which rookie will have the most standout campaign?
That's a tough choice only based off of who starts in the year. Obviously, I'm talking about Vitaly Kravtsov, of course, but I honestly think it'll be Adam Fox, even if Vitaly Kravtsov is here. You know, there's a reason why he almost became the Hobie Baker finalist. He was a finalist. He wasn't the winner.
He
did second place, but, you know, most points as a defenseman. You know, he went to Harvard. That's not an easy place to get into. Just, I mean, like, they don't just take players because they're good at hockey. They take players because they're smart on and off the ice. And it's just, you know, we see how well he skates. His shot, his timing, his passing, you know, his movement, just everything. Like, just the best part about going to the game is you don't have to just focus on the puck carrier. You can focus on the small things they do outside of that. What are they doing to getting open? How are they back checking? What are they really doing to help the goaltender? And besides a few mistakes that I've seen in the other games, like, you know, just a bad pass here or there, I think this is the one issue that he had last night. He tried to clear the puck, but an Islander made a pretty good play to stop it, which that's just something he's going to learn with experience. It's just, hey, look, he's been way above what we've expected, which is fantastic, and there's no reason to say he's not going to be a driving force for this Rangers team. I think his success, more than Kravtsov and more than Kako, is going to really lead this team to a potential playoff push.
It's interesting you say that, because that brings me to my next question. Which player this season, I'm not saying for the duration of their deals, I'm not saying for the whole duration of their contracts, but which player this year means more to the Rangers' success? Jacob Trouba or Artemi Panarin?
Whew. Well, throwing out the hard questions right now, Russ.
Absolutely.
See, that's a very – it's hard to really answer that without having, like, a bias towards offense or defense. And now we know their defense has been lacking. So you can make a case, look, Jacob Trouba's really here for the defense. He's even said it, look, I'll only join in when I only see it's fit. I'm not going to sacrifice my defense for offense, which I love, you love, Ant loves, everybody loves. And, it's like, you know, that's just like the second coming of Dan Girardi, basically. And, you know, by the way, Dan Girardi, you know, everything you've done for the Rangers, you know, we can't thank you enough. It sucks that you got bought out. But
it sucks the relationship ended the way it did.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm glad Kevin brought this up because, we are forever, ever thankful, man. The way you put your body on the line, the stuff you did for this club.
Iron Man, that's who he was.
Yeah, and, you know, everyone likes to harp on Girardi for all the mistakes he made, you know, towards the end, but Girardi was a straight-up warrior. And people remember there was a time when Stahl Girardi was our absolute best defensive pairing, shutting people down, doing the heavy work on Ovechkin and Crosby and all these guys, and it nearly led them to a Stanley Cup.
So I think I'm going to pose this question to you, Russell. Mm-hmm. Is it more important for Jacob Trouba to adjust quickly because he hasn't been in this division before? Or is it more important for Artemi Panarin to be able to light up the division he's just been playing in?
Okay, so this is my answer, right? Artemi Panarin has been relied on for the past two seasons to be the guy in Columbus.
A play per game is not a mistake, you know, especially for the 3 years he's
been. Artemi Panarin knows how to play. He knows people are coming after him. He knows that he is going to be looked at as a top threat, especially on the Rangers, where they're going to have threats, but a lot of those threats are developing. And still, Artemi Panarin had the best season of his career last year.
Mm-hmm.
Now you look. So I think Artemi Panarin is not going to have an issue playing here or in the division, anything like that. He's going to have a great year. I think Jacob Trouba is going to have a test now that you are a number one defenseman.
Yeah.
You're being paid like a number one defenseman. You got traded for to be a number one defenseman. It is time to show us what you got and show us that 50-point season last year was not a fluke. And Jacob Trouba, this is to the whole defense. I just actually kind of wrote a piece on this week, mostly regarding Tony D'Angelo. But all the defense better hope they start having good seasons, because next year, Keandre Miller will probably get going for a roster spot. Nils Lundqvist will probably be shooting for a roster spot. A few years after that, Zach Jones will probably be shooting for a roster spot. Tomer Unionen is still there trying to get a roster spot. Guys, the defense is a good strength that the Rangers have. Not to forget even Matthew Robertson as well. It is a strength in their pipeline, and guys got to start having good years, or management will have no problem saying, all right, next man up.
Yeah.
Jacob Trouba needs to prove he can be the guy.
This is what's good and bad with the depth that they have. Now, Jacob Trouba, he's not going to go anywhere, but he's the guy that has to lead this defense now. You know, Tony D'Angelo took a step forward. Brady Shea is due for a bounce-back year. Mark Stahl, you know, if we get a good year out of him, and I'm not saying like amazing year, but
if we get a positive year out of him
is enough. But you know, Adam Fox isn't gonna be amazing the whole entire year.
He's gotta have bumps.
82 games for a season is very difficult. I know guys have tournaments. I know they have the playoffs, but a regular season is completely different if you're not taking breaks.
To that point, Rasmus Dahlin was interviewed a few weeks ago, the Buffalo Sabres defenseman, and he straight up told the reporter, he was like, yo, the last 20 games, I was gassed.
Yeah.
These rookies are going to hit a wall. Kako might even – look, remember, they're kids, and we're relying a lot on them this year, but overall, this is still development. If the Rangers miss the playoffs, it's okay. It's not something that to worry about. They're still developing, and – you know, if they get close, that'll be awesome. If they get in the wild card berth, that'll be really cool. But if they don't make it, remember, it's okay. So, another question here to pose. This one will be back to Mr. Kevin.
Well, I'm the only one here, so I would hope it's back to me.
How many points can you see Mika Zibanejad scoring this season?
Well, we've talked about this, and I know we like to exaggerate a lot. And I don't want... I want to be hopeful. I want to be optimistic about this. I really do.
You can give your answer, then I will give mine for this.
Okay. Fine. With the addition, with the assumption that Pavel Buchnevich and Artemi Panarin are going to be on the same line as Mika Zibanejad, and the fact that Panarin gets a point pretty much per game, and the fact that Mika Zibanejad had his best season with 74 points, I honestly could see him getting upwards of 85.
Ooh, yeah.
Upwards of 85, as in, if he gets 85, that seems like it would be normal, based off of the players he's playing with. Based off of the power play time, based off he's probably going to have time with Kako also during the year. The fact that Panarin is there always as a threat. Optimistically, yeah, as high as we think he can go, I could see 92 to 94 points. But that's only if everything's firing on all cylinders.
I think that's
the year where Panarin is happy with his contract.
Oh, yeah.
Mika Zibanejad is hitting his stride and is the captain, by the way. He's going to finally get the C, and then it's like, that's it. I have no limits now. I am going to lead by example. That's how he plays. He leads by example. He gets in deep. He shoots the puck. He passes the puck. And he's very smart about his decision-making. He's also great at face-offs.
Zibanejad, underrated defense.
Sorry, just kind of throw this off the side. The Rangers have been winning a lot more faceoffs during this preseason.
That's something we both noticed last night.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah. The Rangers are normally on the side of, you know, 30% in the circle, 40% in the circle, maybe even 20 some nights. They were doing great last night, upwards of 500, 600, 700%. You know, not percent, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
700 in the circle. Zibanejad's a big part of that. I think Zibanejad... clearly, 80 points will be within reach this year. He got 74 without a guy like Panarin on his wing last year. I think 80 is definitely within reach. I think the ceiling for Zibanejad, we're looking at 93, 94 points, like Kevin said. Maybe 95 if things shake out. I mean, you're playing with a superstar. You're going to play with another budding superstar in Kako on the power play. You're going to hope Buchnevich starts hitting that potential he's always had. 90 points is a possibility if things all go the way they should go. But I think we're more likely going to do something like 85, 86 at the end of the year, which will be totally fine.
Hey, if he keeps improving, I'm happy with it. It's just, let me ask you this, and a little off topic. Do you think the Rangers are on a time limit? In the sense that they have all of these young players.
Yeah.
They have a lot of open contracts in the next couple years. Do you think that the Rangers, if they don't make the playoffs, let's just make an assumption they don't make the playoffs this year, which is expected. Do you think in the next 2 or 3 years that they could fall out of playoff contention?
Do you think they need to take advantage of where they're at now? I think the Rangers are built for the long term here. I think that this is going to be a team when the players are in their peaks, they're going to be a contender for about 4 or 5 years. And I think they need
which is fantastic. It's just, you know, you give out these big contracts to Panarin, Mika Zibanejad, and I'm really driving this towards when Mika Zibanejad's contract is up.
I think he'll be re-signed. It's going to be expensive.
He has 3 more years, which isn't a big deal, and that's going to be, you know, he's going to be here after the expansion, so it won't be that bad. It's just, you know, a lot of these young guys are going to want contracts, and based off of the way RFAs have kind of been trending, it kind of scares me a little bit, where, you know, you have all these younger guys, you have guys who know that they're good, and if they produce well right away, you're going to have to pay them right away. And you don't want to lose these guys. You don't want to see him playing better for a rival. You don't want to see him scoring goals and lifting the cup with somebody else. You want them to be here. Where, let's say in 2 years, yeah, they are cup contenders.
Two, three years.
Probably hit the peak. But after that, you know, you lose a good chunk of your players.
But if you
and
win
one... Nothing against Jeff Gordon's, you know, tactic. We might see clever trades here and there to kind of like, you know, let's trade one of the other guys and then get somebody back. Or, you know, the cap's always going to go up, so you never know.
But if you win one...
Is it worth it? But then, like, you're not here to build a one-trick pony winner. It's that's what we've been seeing, though.
You're here to try to do what the Blackhawks
You
do.
Want a dynasty.
Yeah, you want a dynasty.
That's the main goal for any GM. And dynasty in terms is, you know, 3 to 4 cups within 15 years, maybe. 10, 15 years.
But, now, ultimately what you want, and what the Rangers have been preaching since the build started, you want a team that can consistently compete for the Stanley Cup. I would love if we could just do what the Blackhawks did. 3-5, which is possible with the roster they're assembling. Quick guys on the back end, shoot the puck up to the forwards. Yeah. Good, cheap, young forwards, with the exception of Artemi Panarin, of course, but you need that other offensive force.
You need the veteran force. And we talked about this yesterday. The reason Rick Nash didn't work out is because he didn't have playoff experience. I think that was the biggest issue for him. He was great during regular seasons, but when it came to crunch mode, he wasn't there. But Artemi Panarin, the way he played in the last playoffs, the way they swept the Lightning, he looked unstoppable. So that's what you need. You need a guy that could perform when you need him to perform. This is like, let's say the guy, you know, not Artemi Panarin, let's say, I don't know, Ryan Strome or Vlad Nemestikov, one of these other guys, doesn't play really well during the regular season. Plays well enough to stay on the team, obviously. But then they come in the playoffs and they start doing that secondary scoring. That's great, but you're not expecting it out of them. You're expecting it out of Artemi Panarin. You're expecting it out of Mika Zibanejad, and eventually you're going to expect it out of Kaapo Kakko. And now we have these guys that we can actually say, look, if they score, we're happy.
We're not going to be surprised,
oh man, Tanner Glass scored a goal.
We have guys you can throw out now and say, break this game open.
Yeah.
And we haven't had that.
You have a power play and you expect them to score the power play. That's what it is now. I'm expecting them to score the power play. It's not like, ooh, maybe they'll shoot the puck once or twice. No, they're driving the net. They're making the defense double check and double guess and all this other stuff. They're making them be more compressed, which gets them better results.
It's a lot. Another thing to point out about the power play is Kakko is great at drawing defenders to him and opening lanes for people. But we'll dissect the power play more when we see it during the regular season, of course. But the early returns are looking great. So one final question. Kevin can go first, and I'll answer. Where do the New York Rangers finish this season?
That's an interesting question because nobody knows. It's not like last year where it's like, oh, we're expecting them to finish bottom 10. Or the year before that, oh, we're expecting them to make the playoffs. This year really can span from bottom 10 to playoff contender based off of how the rookies play, how these new veterans really hit their strides, and how well the coaching is. And it's always the goaltending is a question mark. But realistically, I can see them fighting for a playoff spot. Wild card, maybe, depending on the rest of the Metropolitan Division, a Metropolitan Division spot. But, you know, the Penguins aren't as good as anymore.
Nope, they are not.
Do the Capitals have any gas left in the tank?
Yeah, the Capitals are probably going to win the division.
You know, the Devils look like they're probably at the same spot the Rangers are. The Islanders, they're a joke. The Canes look just as dominant as last year, even though they lost Justin Falk in that trade. It's a toss-up. It really can be. They could be the top seed in the Metropolitan Division, or they could be wild card number 2.
I think the Rangers are going to be competitive the whole year. I think they're going to show a lot of spirit. I think the defense is going to come together, but I think it's all going to mesh a little too late.
Yeah.
I think that the Rangers will miss the playoffs by a few points. That's okay. This is a year of rebuilding. If they make the playoffs, great, but I don't see them making the playoffs this year. The Atlantic has gotten a lot better, and you could potentially see the Atlantic take 5 spots and the Metropolitan take 3 this year.
Yeah. The Atlantic is a lot more...
A lot more
jam-packed than we are.
Unfortunately, I do see the Rangers missing the playoffs, but...
Barely.
Barely, yes. But
which that's not a great thing. You rather them lose out.
True, but I want them to be competitive. I want the rookies to get some good experience. But remember, even if we don't make the playoffs, every team is entered into the lottery.
Which means you never know.
Which I'll leave everyone with this. This is going to be this is going to be one of the most intriguing New York Rangers seasons we've seen in a long time. It could go really well. We could make the playoffs. We could end up getting another high pick. We're playing with house money this year. Whatever happens with the Rangers, sit back, enjoy the ride, and get used to seeing these rookies do what they do best, and that is going to be performing at a high level for the New York Rangers. It is going to come. The pain might be there for a little bit longer, Rangers fans. We might not see all the wins yet, but they are coming with all this talent arriving. And if we do happen to finish outside the playoffs, let's pray we get number two again, because Mr. Quentin Byfield will look beautiful in blue next year. But we'll talk about that. We got Kako
in the first place. Yeah. You think we get it two years in a row? I doubt that.
The Devils got the first pick 2 in 3 years.
Yeah, 2 in 3 years, but we'd rather get it this year.
A guy can dream, right?
Always.
We'll talk to you guys after the puck drops during the regular season, after the home opener against the Winnipeg Jets. Hopefully we start out with a nice win over Jacob Trouba's former team. Let's go, Rangers, everybody. Have a great week.